know your pastor a little bit more and so on. It's been a blessing. We communicate quite regularly back and forth and just have a good time together. And your church has been a blessing to us. It was a blessing to be here last year, just about a month before this, or in September, I believe, at the beginning. And when Brother Caleb said, "Why don't you come up when you come down for the wedding?" I said, "Absolutely. I'd love to just be in your church." And you folks are a blessing here. I have been in this area quite a bit when I was younger. We had some friends that pastored down in Newark Valley outside of Binghamton, friends of my parents. And so I had been kind of down around this way and into Syracuse a bit and all that, but I'd never been up in this area. And we drove around, I don't know, this afternoon, we went out for lunch. And I don't know, Google has some interesting ways of getting us places. Last year when we came here, I don't know, your pastor kept on sending me Marco Polos and said, "Where are you at? Like, where? How come it's taking you so long?" I said, "I don't know. We're just driving through these random, I don't know whether I'm going to make it or I'm going to die or what's going to happen. I'm not sure." But anyway, we got here. We came home from lunch today, and I think, I don't know, maybe Google knew I was in the van or something and said, "We're going to take them on the most strange route there ever was." But one thing I saw that I liked was a whole bunch of deer stands and fields and stuff, and I like that. So praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here tonight. And why don't you take your Bibles and go to the book of Philippians tonight. I know you've just been there for a little while. I just want to read a couple verses in Philippians chapter 2. And I was between a few different messages, what I was going to preach tonight, what the Lord wanted me to preach. And I came down on this one, and then that last hymn kind of lined right up with the thought I want to go with tonight. Philippians chapter number 2. And we're going to read verses 12 and 13 tonight to get us started. Philippians chapter number 2, starting in verse number 12. And the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get into the message tonight. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for what you've done here already today. Thank you for the good time of worship and in your word we had this morning. And Lord, I pray that you just help us get something from your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you give me help as I preach. Fill me with your spirit. I pray you put a hedge around this place. And Lord, I just pray most of all that you get the honor and glory for everything that's said and done here tonight. Lord, I want to yield the service over to you in best way I know how, and just I pray that you'd speak to each one of us tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, he led that song, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." And the message that the Lord laid on my heart tonight was a spiritual checkup. You know, we need to do that. And make sure that there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. There's nothing in your life and mine that hinders our fellowship with God. And I just love that. I thought we were done after that favorite hymn that was requested. And he said, "No, we're going to one more. Nothing Between." I said, "Great. That lines up perfectly." And you know what? In our physical lives, we often go to the doctor for a checkup. At least we should, I guess. That's what they say. I don't know when I was there last for that, but they say that we should go to the doctor for a regular checkup. And it's probably a good idea. I can't really dispute that a whole lot. But more importantly, spiritually, we need to go to the doctor, the great physician, for a spiritual checkup. And I believe that's very important. I believe that that ought to be something you do on a very regular basis. I know some people, I don't know what you do in your church. In our church, we have the Lord's table once a month. We didn't always do it that way. That's the way we're doing it now. And however you do it, it's how you do it. That's up to you, between you and God. There's nothing in Scripture that really says do it X amount of times or not. And so you do it how your pastor decides to do it. But you know what? Some people kind of rack up all the stuff going on in their life, and they wait for that time where we're supposed to examine ourselves. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think you can sing a song like "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior" and be waiting for the Lord's Supper to confess some sins to God. You can't do that. A preacher told me a long time ago, keep short accounts with God. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to keep track. I can't keep track a day sometimes. And you know, I read this little joke, funny story, whatever you want to call it. It said a man went to his doctor for a checkup. The doctor did a very thorough examination, and he asked the nurse to send the man's wife into the office. And the doctor said, I have some very bad news. Your husband's very sick. And she was a little bit worried, you know, as any wife would be. But he said, you know what? There's good news. There's hope for him. There's hope for your husband. And she said, well, what is it that I'm going to have to do? What do we need to do so that my husband gets healthy again? And he says, if you'll take him home, cook him 3 hot meals a day, take care of all his needs, he should recover in about 2 months. And the wife said, 2 months? That's crazy. There's no way I could do that. 2 months. And she left the office. She goes to the car, and the husband's sitting in the car waiting, and the husband says, well, what'd the doctor say? And she said, you're dying. He said, you're dying, because there's no way, you know, no way she's going to take care of him for 2 months. You know what? We need to have checkups. We need to make sure that we check in with the doctor and don't go by somebody else's examination or somebody else's diagnosis. Go to the person that knows. The Bible says that we ought to examine ourselves. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, prove yourselves. So you ought to go to God, not somebody else. I've been around this building. Your preacher took me around, showed me last year the facility. Something I didn't see here, a confessional booth. There's no place for you to come and some guy on the other side of some curtain sitting there for you to, tell all your sins and all these things. There's none of that. Why? Because there's one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. You have access. There's no reason why you can't do a spiritual checkup. You can do it on your own. Examine yourselves. You say, when does this examination need to end? When do I need to stop examining myself? Well, I would say if you're breathing, that ought never happen. You ought never stop examining yourselves. I read this. A young preacher said to his older pastor, he said, Pastor, when should I cease to be bothered by the sins of the flesh? And the pastor said, Son, I wouldn't trust myself until I'd been dead for at least 3 or 4 days. Man, that's pretty good right there. Now, I understand he was trying to, you know, maybe make light to make a point, but we will have our flesh until the day we die or the Lord comes and takes us home. So we're going to have those struggles. We're going to have things that we can improve and points where the Lord lays it on our heart, things we need to change, things we need to get right. We have that nature. And we're always surrounded by sin. It's everywhere. No matter where you go, what you do, it doesn't matter. You could lock yourself in a room somewhere and be disconnected from every part of this world, and you still have your flesh. So no matter what you do, you're going to be surrounded by sin, surrounded by corruption, and you and I need to do checkups on a regular basis. So Christians, we need regular checkups. We need to monitor our condition. And so I want to look at a couple of things tonight that will help you maybe see the symptoms of a spiritual decline, and then we're going to give you the prevention plan. And so the first thing we're going to look at is the decline. And as we decline in physical health, we decline the same in spiritual health. And just as a doctor would look for symptoms and things like that in a health decline, we can take the Bible and we can look at symptoms in our lives of a spiritual decline. Symptoms of a spiritual decline. And the first one is a declined desire for God and His Word. Any of you remember the song we sang in Sunday school? Maybe you sang it here. We sing it up home. It's read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Right? That's pretty simple. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. What's the second verse of that song says? Neglect your Bible, forget to pray. Now, the guy that leads the singing in our Sunday school, after that forget to pray, he goes, who cares? And that's the attitude that we have a lot of times. Who cares? We don't need the Bible. We don't need to pray. We don't need any of those things. Man, that's a symptom of a spiritual decline. You ought to make a checklist of these things tonight. See how many you can check off to say, maybe I am declining spiritually this evening. A decline for God and His Word. Psalm 1 and verse 2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. How often do we both day and night meditate on God's Word? And then I add to that, well, the Bible adds to that. It says His delight is when you get up in the morning and it's time to do your Bible reading. Is it a, man, I got to do this again? I just don't have time, man. I slept in this morning and I got to get to work and I got to go do this and I got to go do that. Is it a delight to meditate on God's Word? Or is it just something you're trying to do to check it off a list? Man, we ought to have a desire. It ought to be our delight. We ought to not just read it, but meditate. Take some time to let what you're reading soak into your heart. I've been there so many times where we go throughout our daily lives, we get into a situation, and all of a sudden, something I read that morning just pops in, and that's the answer for whatever it is that's going on in my life that day. Well, what if I neglected to do that day? It's like having a gun and having no bullets in it. And you know, you're faced, you know, I can't carry a gun in Canada, but I can if I'm hunting. So if I'm out in the deer stand and a prize buck walks out into the apple pile, I don't know if you can bait deer here or not, but we can in Nova Scotia. So anyways, that prize buck walks out to the apple pile and I take aim on that buck and click, didn't put the bullets in the gun. Not much good. I don't got any meat in my freezer. I like deer meat. We liked it. Lord willing, we're going to get 3 or 4 of them this year and fill the freezer with that. My daughter is old enough to hunt, praise God, and she's ready to go and wants to shoot something, so we're going to fill the freezer. But if we don't put any bullets in her gun or don't get her out to the range to make sure she's prepared to shoot and all these kind of things, what good is it? She'd be out there firing all over the place, not knowing what to do. The deer's there, whatever the case. Man, you got to get the bullets in your gun. You got to be prepared to do it. You got to meditate on God's law day and night and delight in it. This is talking about the blessed person there in Psalm 1, right? And he is his delight is in the law of the Lord. A declined desire for God and His Word. We talked about His Word, but what about God? The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And you know what? That doesn't mean that you're on your knees 24 hours a day, but like it was said this morning, the first response when things go sideways ought to be, God, I need You for this. If that is not your first response, maybe there's a decline. Maybe that's the part of your life where you need to go, okay, on the spiritual checkup checklist, my first response isn't, Lord, I need Your help. Well, maybe that's the thing that you need help with, that you need God to realign you, that you need to just give those things to the Lord, as it was said this morning. You know, it's a privilege to be able to come to God directly in prayer. Man, and I mentioned it a moment ago. You know, some don't believe that that is available to everybody, but they don't believe the Bible. The Bible, it says that we have direct access to God as Christians, and I thank God for that. That we don't have to, you know, get out our book of saints and go, well, I have a sniffle today. What's the patron saint of sniffles? And try to find that one, you know, and pray to that. No, I can just pray to God. Lord, I'm not feeling great today. Can You help me with this? That ought to be something you hold dear as a Christian. But a sign of a spiritual decline, it'll be a decline for God and His Word. What's the next one? A declined desire for God's people. Man, I see this. I don't know what it's like here. But I see this so much where we're at. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. But it's so much the less, at least where we're at, it's so much the less as they see the day approaching. It's so much the less as they see summer approaching. Man, a lot of the churches in our area, when summer hits, there's no Sunday night service. There's no Wednesday service. The only time the church doors are open are Sunday morning. And the attendance is small. But you know what? That's not the way the Bible says. But if you have a spiritual decline, man, you'll be like, yeah, that sounds great. It's summertime. Man, I get the boat out. I can go to the cottage. You know, I could go to the beach. I could, you know, whatever the case is. I could do all that. That's a great thing. No, it's not a great thing. The great thing is to be in God's house. That's what the Bible teaches. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not, I was glad when they said unto me, it's summer vacation. No, there's no summer vacation from the Christian life. There's no summer vacation from church. You might have a spiritual decline. You ought to be excited. I ought to be excited to be able to go to church. Amen. Man, we come in and we know it's Sunday, and we just scrape our way into church, and we got to be there because the pastor expects us to be there, and our friends expect us to be there, and we just do it because it's what we do. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. You ought to have a desire to be here. On Wednesday night, I preached in Maryland at Brother Jamie's church, Jamie Groom's, and I preached that it was good to draw near to God. And it is good to draw near to God. When you come to church, what do you want to do here? What do you want to do? Do you want to come and be entertained? Do you want to come and listen to some good singing? You know, I heard the choir practicing earlier tonight. And, you know, do you want to come and your pastor, he's a great preacher. He's a great preacher, and you can come and say, man, I just want to hear another great message from Brother Caleb. No, what you ought to do is want to come and hear a message from God. Amen. You ought to come and not to be entertained, but to worship the God that created you. To worship the God that's given you an opportunity to get up this morning and get here. Man, but we got so many other things on our minds. Man, we want something that... You know, your preacher said it this morning, we treat God as a genie in a bottle. Man, I use that all the time. Man, we just expect to take God off the shelf, rub the lamp, grant me my wish, now get back in there till I need you next time. And that's how we treat church. Man, I'm coming to church, and if I don't get a blessing, man, I don't know if I'm going to come back Sunday night. I don't know if I'm going to come back Wednesday night. Man, if I don't get in there and somebody just tickles my ears, you know, and all these things, I don't know if I'm coming back. You might have a decline, a spiritual decline going on in your life. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, every once in a while, you know, maybe you're going to get a promotion at work, but it says, you know, you're going to have to work some Wednesday nights. I said, well, what's a Wednesday night every once in a while? Well, the problem is it's not going to stay a Wednesday night every once in a while. It's going to come every Wednesday night. Then they'll say, well, why don't you come to church Sunday? Why don't you work Sunday night? But it's after your church is done, usually, so why don't you come and do that? You know, you'll get all this extra money and a new title and all these things, and you go, well, that's not so bad. And next thing, it's Sunday night service you miss. Next thing, it's Sunday morning service. The next thing, you're gone. Why? Because of a spiritual decline. You didn't do a spiritual checkup and go, maybe, is this a good thing for me? I would say it's not. You have a declined desire for God's people and fellowshipping with God's people. If you walk into church and you look over at somebody and go, I just can't stand that person. You know, what's that verse say? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Amen. You know, that ought to be a part of coming to church. Not hating on everybody that's around you, but trying to build them up. Amen. Trying to encourage them. You don't know what's going on. You say, my life's so hard. Well, yeah, people have struggles. Yeah. And maybe you're the one that God's going to put in their path to encourage them that day. And you come in and say, man, that person looked at me sideways. How dare they? You don't even know. You know, maybe there's something serious going on in their lives. It's nothing to do with you. But you're so self-centered that everything's about you. Now, I'm saying you, it happens to all of us. It's me included. I come into church as a pastor, got a billion things in my mind. And then I see somebody looks a little, you know, off or something like that in my mind. Man, I'm like these guys. I like to fix problems. You know, I like to fix those things. And when I see somebody who's a little off, sometimes my mind just goes. There's nothing wrong. They just happen to, you know, not be smiling that second I looked at them. And then my mind, man, what's going on? Maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Why don't we come wanting to exhort one another? Wanting to build each other up. If you don't have that attitude, maybe there's a spiritual decline happening. You know, maybe it's, you know, not a, I mentioned the job thing a moment ago. Maybe it's not a job. Maybe it's a friendship. Man, we go, man, friends, it's not that big a deal. Not that big a deal who I'm friends with. You know who you ought to be friends with? God's people. God's people. If your best friends are people who don't know the Lord, there's a problem. And if there's not a problem this very moment, there's going to be. There's going to be. Man, I remember when I was in high school, I went to Christian school, and one summer I was standing in McDonald's and with my friends, and the football coach of Moncton High, I grew up in Moncton, New Brunswick, and the football coach at Moncton High, he was standing behind me in line. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, son, do you play football? I said, no, I don't play football. My school doesn't have a football team. And he goes, well, you come to Moncton High and you'll have a place on the football team. And as a teenager, I'm like, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to have a spot on the football team. I've never had these opportunities before. We never had any of that stuff. Best we had was soccer, which I didn't really like that much. And eventually they had a badminton team. I don't know. Please, badminton. Anyway, not me. So I went home promptly and said, Mom and Dad, I want to leave the Christian school. I'm going to Moncton High, and I'm going to play football. And they said, no. And I said, why? And they said, because I said so. And I said, I don't like that. Well, I didn't say that to them, because I wouldn't be here today if I said that to them. But in my mind, I was saying, I don't like that. And in their minds, they're thinking, he's going to get some friends. He's going to get into trouble. He's going to have a... I got enough trouble at Christian school with a bunch of Christian kids. If I went to public school, man, I can't imagine where I would be today. My parents had some wisdom, and they said, no, we're going to do some things to make sure that he doesn't decline spiritually. We're going to try anyway. And I thank God for that. I thank God for parents who put up a hedge and had some standards and said no every once in a while. Man, parents, a lot of parents today, man, that word no is not in their vocabulary. The parents need to say no every once in a while. We go, why is this world going in such a way that it is? Because parents don't say no. There's a lot of other things they should do too that I don't know, I'm not going to cover that right now, but some things that happen to me that don't happen to some of the ones of the generation currently. Anyways, those things should happen. And we say, why is the country declining? Yours is declining. Mine's declining just the same. The world is going down the tubes. Why? Because some parents just don't say no. They don't say no. They don't have any standards. They don't put up any hedges. They don't look for spiritual decline in their children and try to do some things to stop that. You know, we ought to have a desire for God's people, not a decline in desire for God's people. My desire was to play football. I would have thrown everything in my life away to go play football. And I can see enough into the future to know where I'd be had I gone down that road. You and I have something in our lives, like my wanting to play football. We have something. Doesn't matter what age you are. That desire and those things, that doesn't go away when you become an adult. There's some things that you and I can desire in our lives that are going to cause a spiritual decline. It's going to cause you to get away from God's people. It's going to cause you to get away from church where we ought to be. If you have a declined desire for being here, you better check that off on the list. Get that taken care of. What's the next decline? A declined desire to preach the gospel. You know, God could have chosen any way. He could have chose any way to get the gospel out. He could have done anything. But He chose us. He chose Christians to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He could have chose anything. But He chose us. Just think about that. He could have just written it in the sky. He could have written it in the sky, but He didn't. He chose you and He chose me. Do you have a desire to go out and preach the gospel? Man, one thing, we put some miles on in the last few days. And we've drove through some big places. Man, we drove. My wife wanted to go, and I don't know why we did this. But anyway, she wanted to go right downtown New York City. She wanted to see. She's been there many times. She grew up in Florida. Her father was a truck driver. Been around that area a bunch of times. Never seen the Statue of Liberty. Well, I'd never seen it either, and the kids hadn't seen it either. So I said, well, let's go. We might as well see some other things while we're down there. So let's drive down Fifth Avenue and right all along by the park there and see all these things, see the Empire State Building and all this stuff and bumper-to-bumper traffic for 3 hours. You know, it was just the best day of my life. But you know what happened when I was driving through some of these places? Now, I've been through some big cities up in Canada, and you know, but where I live, it's small. Small. It's 9,000 people in Amherst. Small. One thing that I was thinking as I was driving, when you're putting these miles down, you just have time to kind of think a little bit, you know? And I'm driving through and I see thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You drive, like we drove, you know, we're driving here last night, coming up on Syracuse, and you see all these lights, and I don't know what that pink dome thing is, but anyway, there's some kind of it's a dome? Is it a sports thing? Okay, all right. So you see all these places, and the thought popped in my mind, man, all these people, the vast majority, they need the gospel. Yeah, right. They need the gospel. I mean, there's a few of you here tonight, you know, that in comparison to the area, all those people who aren't here, they need the gospel. We need to get out there. Do you have a desire? That kind of renewed inside of me in the last few days, driving through all these places and seeing all these people. God just put it in my mind and said, these people, there are people everywhere that need to hear the gospel. What are we doing about it? You know what? A lot of what we're doing about it is nothing. We sit in our church, we come and we sit here comfortable and we hear the word preached, and maybe we come to an altar every once in a while, and maybe we praise God every once in a while. But what do we do when we get out of here? Do we have a desire to preach the gospel? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21 says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." I'm not the best preacher in the world. And you don't have to be to share the gospel. You say, well, I'm not good enough. I can't speak. There's been people in the Bible who said that. God used them. You know, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. You know what you can do? You say, I can't speak. There's all those little paper missionaries out there in the entryway. Amen. And yet, I don't know if we have Tim Hortons in Canada. There's Tim Hortons every once in a while down here. I've seen them. You got Dunkin' Donuts, right? That's the big coffee thing down here. No, I'm seeing some no's. I know your preacher doesn't like coffee, so. But they, you know, you go through McDonald's. Everybody does that. You know what you could do is just give that person the window of track. You drive through McDonald's and go, I don't want to do that. What are they going to think about me? You know, are they gonna laugh and joke and whatever? Who cares? Who cares? Is their eternal soul not worth it? I mean, our Savior was ridiculed. He was beat. He was hung on a cross. He still did it. He could have chose not to. But He still did it. And we can't take a little criticism. Spiritual decline. The foolishness of preaching. God was pleased to use that. You can do it. You can do it. But if you don't have a desire, maybe there's a spiritual decline. You know, each one of these kind of adds up. It starts with, well, maybe I don't really need to read the Bible that much anymore. Maybe I don't need to have that time in prayer so much anymore. And then it leads to, well, maybe I just don't have to go to church that much anymore. And then it goes, well, maybe I just don't have to preach the gospel anymore. And then it flips. It goes from declines to an incline desire for worldly things. An incline desire for worldly things. Each one of these things on our checklist, it's a progression. And it's going to end up being, well, I just want the things of this world. Man, that seems good to me. I look out at the world and I see what I would say wicked people prospering. We look out in the world and we see that sometimes and go, man, how come all these wicked people are doing so good and I got nothing? Man, you got something. You got something that's way better than anything they've got. You've got eternal life if you're saved here tonight. You've got a Savior that loves you. You've got a Savior that died for you. You've got a great physician who's better than any doctor in this country. Amen. You got all kinds of things. But we end up with an inclined desire for worldly things instead of an inclined desire for godly things. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Man, if you love worldly things more than you love godly things, it's a sure sign of a spiritual decline. Man, we got to get our eyes off this world. You know, I believe time is short. I believe we're living in the last days. And thank God that He's long-suffering to us, Word. Thank God that He hasn't taken us home. There's still opportunity for all those people. All those people. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And thank God for that. Amen. You know, thank God that He was long-suffering even to us. He could have come before any of us had an opportunity to accept Him as Savior. How many of us in the room, don't raise your hand, but how many of us, the first time the gospel was shared with you, you didn't accept Christ as Savior? You heard it, and you heard it. Me, growing up in church, I heard it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I know the first time that I realized that I was a sinner, I didn't accept Christ as Savior the very first time. And the Lord continued to be long-suffering to me. But you know what? He could have come back between that time I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell before I accepted Him as Savior, but He didn't. Because He's long-suffering to us, Word. And He's still long-suffering today. Praise God for it. But if you have an inclined desire for worldly pleasures, you're not going to be able to reach those people. You're not going to have a desire to. You need to have a spiritual checkup. And so if you think about these checkups, we go to the doctor, we have checkups, and they say, you know, I don't know, at different ages in Canada, they send you these things. You got to have this test, and you got to go for this test. And yet now you're of this age, you should go for this test because there's a higher risk of whatever. And you know, we go for these checkups and we do these tests and the doctor says, all right, here's what you need to do to stay healthy. Gives you a prevention plan to not get some of these things that are common. And so I believe God gives us a prevention plan for spiritual decline. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We need to grow. It's a continual process. Thank God for His grace. You know, there's growing pains sometimes. There's growing pains, and thank God that His grace is sufficient for us. But you know what? The first thing in the prevention plan, and it's I kind of talked about it a little bit at the beginning, But the first part of the prevention plan is just to go to the doctor. Just go to the doctor. And I'm not saying go to the, there's a lot of quack doctors out there, if I can say that. I know it's like that in Canada anyway, but I don't know what it's like here. But the great physician, you don't have to worry about him. Amen. He's always going to get it right. He's going to have the right prescription. You can go to him boldly, it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Amen. Grace to help in time of need. You know, we ought to be a praying people. Amen. And we talked about that at the first thing. A decline for God and His Word. We ought to be a praying people. That priority, I believe, is becoming non-existent in Christians today. But you know what? If you were having a heart attack, what would you do? You'd pick up the phone and you'd dial 911 and you'd get to the hospital. Because you know you need a doctor. You can't fix your heart attack on your own. I mean, maybe you got a pacemaker and it'll kick in eventually. But if you don't, you need to get to the doctor. You know, if you're having some serious type of illness, my wife broke her leg skiing this spring. And we didn't just try to, you know, put that all back together ourselves and all that kind of thing. We got her to the hospital. And they put some stuff in there and fixed her all up because we were in our right minds, and that's where she needed to go. And so you and I spiritually, if you're in your right mind spiritually and you have a spiritual problem, you're going to go to the spiritual doctor. You're going to go to the great physician. And you can do it boldly. Man, I'm thankful that he's faithful. I'm thankful that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That has not changed. When it was written down in Scripture, it's not changed and it's never going to change. You can go to the doctor. You don't have to be ashamed about it. Just go. He's the one that can help. But the devil, he'll tell you, man, you don't need the doctor. You don't need to go to him. You know, you're not worthy to stand before a holy God. He'll say some of these things in our ears. But God's word is true, and He's a liar. He's a liar. And He's going to try to prevent you from getting better. He's going to try to stop you. I believe one of the most important priorities in a Christian life ought to be our prayer life. Amen. We ought to get into God's word, but I think we need a prayer life. We need it every day. We can't skip. We need it. God wants to be our Father. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be our help. And all of those things require communication. Right. You know, as a dad, I want to hear from my kids. You know, as your doctor probably says, when is that guy going to come in and have another checkup? You know, he hasn't been here for 17 years. He better come in. Is he still alive? Man, I don't know. The doctor wants to hear from you. Your father wants to hear from you. Your friends want to hear from you. Your heavenly Father and your great physician and your dearest friend wants to hear from you. So go to the doctor. We'll be a lot more successful coming over the things in our lives if we go to the doctor, if we have that attitude of prayer. But you know what? There's one thing to go to the doctor. I could go to the doctor. You can go to the doctor. He can tell you all kinds of things. But if you don't follow his orders, what good is it? The doctor says, all right, you know, you've got to whatever this disease is, and you need to do this and this and this, and that'll fix the problem. I had cancer. I had cancer when I was, I don't know, 21 years old, I think I was. Had cancer, and they said, all right, we're going to go through this regimen of treatment, and you're probably going to be in a wheelchair, but that's better than the alternative. So let's go through and do that. And I could have said, I don't think we should do that. I'm just going to hope for the best. This doctor knows a whole lot more about it than I do. And thank goodness the doctor I had was one of those guys who said, we'll tell you if he could fix it and tell you if he can't. I like those kind of doctors. Some people don't. They would like somebody just to pat them on the back and say it's going to be okay. No, I want to know if I'm going to live or I'm going to die. And so thank goodness I had a doctor. Thank God I had a doctor that was like that. But I could have just ignored his orders. Man, they told me some things afterwards. They said, because of where my tumor was located, there's some things that you just can't do in your life now. Or else your structural integrity isn't what it once was. And so you listen to the doctor, because I want to stay alive. And I know it's all in God's time and all those things, but, you know, they know a little bit more about it than we do. You know, if you go to the doctor and you have an ear infection, they say, here's some antibiotics, and take it away in a couple of days. You go, I think I'll just fend for that on myself. Man, I've had eardrums burst from ear infections. That's not fun stuff. And I had them all the time when I was a kid. And I would just take that antibiotic and I'd get better. Now you say, man, that's Andrew. He just believes in pill pushing. No, I don't believe in that stuff. I'm just trying to make an illustration. Yeah. You know, you'd go to the doctor because that's the thing to do, but then think you know more than the doctor. And that's how we do it with God. We go to God, but then God says, okay, do this. And we go, no, I don't think so. I know a little bit more than God does. Really? I don't think so. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. All of you could probably quote that here tonight. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust him. You know, if you go to the doctor and he says do something, just do it. Just do what he says. Trust him with all your heart, not a little bit. And then God knows that we need it told to us 3 or 4 times before we actually get it. Because he could have just said, trust in the Lord. But he didn't. He adds, with all thine heart. And then he goes, they probably still don't get it. So, and lean not on thine own understanding. And they probably still don't get it. Because he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he says, maybe they got it now. And he gives the rest of it. And he shall direct thy paths. You know, you've got to listen to the doctor. You've got to follow his orders. You got to do what he says. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Your spiritual life depends on following God and not yourself. But this world is so designed, and they pushed it so much that we got to follow our hearts. You know, that's what, like, Disney's thing. Just follow your heart. Man, it's all going to be okay. The Bible says that your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You want to follow that? No. I want to follow the orders of the doctor. I want to follow the great physician. That's going to prevent me from a spiritual decline. Following my heart, there's going to be a decline, just like we talked about a little bit earlier. If I followed my heart and my parents just said, yeah, do whatever you want, I would not be standing here likely today. But I thank God that they trusted the Lord in all their hearts and kept me from doing some things. You and I need to follow his orders. We don't only need to trust him, but we need to follow and acknowledge when he tries to lead. I'll give you the last part of the prevention plan and we'll be done here tonight. Your prevention plan: go to the doctor, follow his orders, and avoid the germs. Avoid the germs. You say, yeah, I do that all the time. You know, I just wear a mask and do this. Anyway, I'm not going to get into all that stuff. I could. But you know, if you know there's an outbreak of some kind of an illness, you wouldn't just be, man, I just want to go hang out with all this outbreak of illness. I know this is kind of sometimes a touchy kind of subject, but let's take it spiritually tonight. Let's take it spiritually. If you knew there was an outbreak of some kind of an illness, you're not going to put yourself right in the middle of those things. You're going to try to avoid the germs. And you ought to do that in your spiritual life. If you know there's a place that's going to cause you to fall, avoid the germs. Stay out of that place. If you go to the doctor and he says, you got to stay away, you're vulnerable in this area, so stay away from that thing. Don't run headlong into that thing. But that's what we do, because we like those things. Our flesh likes those things. We want to go and do those things, but you and I spiritually need to avoid the germs. The Bible is very clear on separation. We are supposed to separate ourselves from the world. Now, we need to go out into the world and preach the gospel, but you got to be out of the world. You can't live in those things. We talked about it, you know, friends and all this stuff. You've got to do some things to avoid the germs. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed. You know what we're supposed to be is a peculiar people. You know, you ought to go out into the community and people look at you and go, something's different about them. Not like, man, that guy's just whacked out, weird, you know. But they should see Christ in us. You know, many times I've wore that pin that I gave to your preacher this morning, and people go, they think it looks like a video game rating. Right? And they go, man, what's that pin? And they say, Jesus Christ, rated E for everyone. It catches their attention. Right? Catches it. That's what it ought to be. You ought to be out there a peculiar people showing Christ. Amen. By the way you dress, by the things you listen to, by the places you go, by the people you associate with. You know, all of these things. Avoid the germs. Stay away from all those things. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed and live a life that's good and acceptable and perfect. We're not to be like this world. We need to be separate from it. And the only way we're going to be successful in our Christian lives is to strive to avoid the germs. The germs that get on us from this world each and every day. You know what you can do? Remember, we all used to, and maybe you still do, we all used to run around with a bunch of hand sanitizer there for a little while. You know what this book is? It's hand sanitizer for your soul. It's hand sanitizer for your life. You ought to rub as much of that stuff on you as you possibly can. And avoid, you know, you can avoid the germs of this world? That book. That book. You know, it's almost like it could be a force field. It is a shield, is it not?
Right.
The shield of faith. We live in a world that is wicked. And we should not be a part of that world. We've got to be out in it trying to share the gospel, win people to Christ. But don't get that wickedness on you. Avoid the germs. Avoid the germs. So I ask you tonight, if you were to take these things and put them in a checklist, how many would be checked off, those declines? How many of those declines would be checked off? How many parts of the prevention plan have you applied in your life each and every day? Maybe there's some areas and you've realized tonight that you're in danger of a spiritual illness. Why not take some time tonight and do a spiritual checkup? And examine yourself and see if you're at risk for spiritual decline. There's a prevention plan. You can develop some immunity to the germs, the spiritual germs that surround us every single day. Just go to the doctor. Just follow his orders. How are you doing tonight? How's your checklist look? Maybe you need to come to an altar and just say, Lord, you know what? I see some declines in my life. Would you help me? I'm coming to the doctor. And Lord, not only tell me the way to fix it, but help me to follow your orders tonight. And then go out of here avoiding the germs. Staying spiritually healthy. Why don't we all stand together and ask your preacher to come and he'll close the service as he sees fit.
Not much more to say. Take a look. You know, nobody else is going to help and just force you to live for God. Nobody's going to make you do it. Nobody's going to make you check. Nobody's going to make you look. Nobody's going to make you do. Nobody's going to fix it. I can't fix it for you. You know, all the time, pastors give out advice. We give out counsel. We try to help somebody. We try to tell somebody the best way we know that could help them, and we open the scriptures. You know what I find? Not everybody wants to do what they're told out of the Bible. So it's your call. Just like nobody's going to make you do what the doctor told. The doctor's not going to stand over your shoulder and make sure you do all the things they tell you to do. God's not going to make you do any of it. He'll give you all the right answers, and he'll give you all the right advice, and he'll take all the right things. But if you don't want to fix it, he'll let you do whatever it is you're going to do. But you'll be sick. Sad reality is, he ended with it. He was talking about those germs. Because you allow yourself to get around all the things you know are going to make you sick and go after that fleshly desires and those worldly things. And you just let them all stay around you, and you don't ever separate from them. Because your answer is, well, no, I'm strong enough. I'm good enough. I'll take it. It'll be fine. I can handle it. Okay. But what if you can't? Because the Lord told you to get away from it. What will you do? Maybe you just need to take a few minutes. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I don't even know. Am I okay? Is there anything between my soul and the Savior? And I just don't know it? That's a scary thought, by the way. There could be something there and I just don't know it. But you're not even willing to ask him. That would tell me that you don't care enough about the relationship. Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation now. Lord, help people to come. And Father, just take a moment. Take a moment, examine ourselves. Take a moment to see what you want from us. Take a moment to see what we can do for you different. Take a moment to see if there's anything we need to separate from and get away from or do different, because you are the one. It starts with that first step of, God, what do you want? Father, is there anything wrong with me? Is there anything that I'm doing that's going to get me sick? Is there anything making me sick? Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation even now in Jesus' name. Amen.